You are Locked On Raiders, your daily Oakland Raiders podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash with a silver hat about his head and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What's up, Raider Nation? Welcome into Friday's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Again, it's Friday, July the 12th, 2019. Your boy Q here. You know you can always find me on Twitter, as many of you do, at your boy Q254. Anything you want to say, anything that's on your mind, something that you want to talk about as far as topics that we're talking about on the podcast, you can always hit up that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Again, the number is 707-654-4693. It is Friday's edition of the show. Just want to kind of tell you what's going to happen on the show today. Got a bunch of calls I want to get to. I'm going to do that in segment number three. Got a handful of calls. Definitely want to get to them. A little bit, some of them are lengthy, some of them are short, but trying to get in as many as possible before the weekend, and then we'll do it all again come Monday. So segment number three, you're going to have calls off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. Segment number two, I got kind of something special for you, and it's really from Raiders.com. They're doing a little series called More Than Rookies, and it's put together pretty well, and it looks like it's going to be a three-part documentary, or a three-part little series, and it's real short. I mean, one episode, the first episode that I'm going to talk about in segment number two is like 6 minutes, so I think they're just going to be a series of like six-minute little shows or whatever, six-minute little videos, but it's put together really well. I grabbed some audio from it. I want to play that in segment number two, going to speak on it, and I think I have a new player that I'm going to have my eye on, especially when Hard Knocks comes around, definitely during training camp, during preseason. Got a new guy that I'm kind of pulling for and a new guy that I'll be paying attention to. And maybe, like I said, a storyline for Hard Knocks. But I'll talk about that in segment number two. Here in segment number one, you know, I always like to give you the news and notes of the day, and today is no different. It's going to be the same. So first, I want to talk about the podcast. I want to talk about apps because we've been talking about Google Play, how it's been suspect. Google Podcast, it's good. Apple Podcast is good. But apparently, this is what I've been hearing. This is the feedback I've been getting throughout the week as I've been collecting it. Apparently, the Himalaya app, I used to talk about that quite a bit. The Himalaya app is still really good. So if you want to use that to download the podcast, subscribe to the podcast, you can. Apparently, that's working really, really well. Google Play, I talked about that on Thursday. It's really, really suspect. And according to some, Google Podcast is suspect at times as well. But then I learned late on Thursday that Apple Podcast has been tripping. And I'm not too sure about that because I get mine on Apple Podcast all the time on my phone, and it works no problem. But I'm hearing that if you're not subscribed to it, that could be tripping out as well. So I'm not too sure what's really going on, why all these different platforms are starting to mess up and not carry the podcast like it's supposed to, or are making it a lot more difficult for people to get to. I'm not too sure why that is, but apparently that's been the case. So as far as I know, Spotify is really good. Stitcher's really good. Himalaya is a good way to go. And for me, Apple Podcasts, you know, on my iPhone works really well as well. But I've heard that it's suspect at times. So I guess kind of tread water as you can, figure it out, or, you know, just use one of those different podcast apps if it's not working for you. Look, let's put it like this. If you go to it and a podcast episode is not there, 9 times out of 10, it's whatever platform you're using. Because 9 times out of 10, I have a new podcast up there. Usually I have it up there by 9:30 Central Time. So on the West Coast, that'd be 7:30. On the East Coast, obviously, that'd be about 10 something. But usually about 9:30, I have that podcast up there. So if it's not up there, 9 times out of 10, something's going on with the app, because I've been pretty sticking consistent with doing shows and not missing a day. I actually had someone hit me up and tell me that, you know, how to make the podcast better would be consistent and do it every day. And I'm thinking, huh? I said, what are you talking about? I've been doing it every single day pretty much for the whole offseason. I have no idea what you're talking about. I may miss a show here or there, but I couldn't tell you the last time I missed a show. It's been quite a while. So if you see shows consistently missing, That's the platform. It's not me, because I've been putting shows out every single day. When I found out, actually, that a lot of the Locked On hosts are actually on something that they call a summer schedule or an off-season schedule, where they don't even do a show every single day. So I'm just finding these things out, man. Again, coming up on 1 year doing this podcast, I'm just kind of finding out like the tricks of the trade. But it's all good. I don't mind. You know, it is what it is. I'm going to keep pounding them out every single day as long as I'm available to do it, as long as I have a studio to do it, as long as I have a microphone and somewhere to record. I'm good to go. Sometimes I got to use my phone, and I'll do that. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you about that at the end of this episode, because this next week, Monday and Tuesday, I'm actually going to be out of town. I'll be in Dallas, Arlington, whatever you want to call it, for Big 12 Media Day, so I'll have to do my podcast in my hotel room, so I'll probably be using my phone. But I'll tell you all about that at the end of today's episode. So anyway, the Himalaya app is really good. Apple Podcasts, I guess, is really good at times. Spotify, Stitcher, those are all really good. So go ahead, and if you're having any problems, try to use one of those other platforms. Now, another piece of news that I want to drop has nothing to do with the Raiders, except for it does, because it's a division opponent, and that's the Chargers. Melvin Gordon, as of Thursday, is talking about holding out if he does not get a new deal. He's supposed to make almost $6 million this season. He's going into the final year of his rookie deal, and he wants to be paid like a top running back in the league, which is close to $13 million a year. Now, my question is, this is what I was talking about on my radio show on Thursday, and I had a lot of blowback. I had a lot of people, you know, push back saying, "What are you talking about, Q? You're totally wrong. He's totally worth it." I was thinking, I don't know if the dude is worth $13 million. I mean, Melvin Gordon has had his moments, but if you go back and look at it, especially as a Raider fan, I know the Raiders have played him twice a year since he's been in the league. I don't think he's been that great. I mean, I really don't. I don't think he's Ezekiel Elliott great. I don't think he's Melvin Gordon. I don't think he's Todd Gurley great. I don't. I don't think he's Alvin Kamara great. I don't think he's one of the best running backs in the league. I just really don't. And I know, you know, statistically and yards from scrimmage, I understand people are saying that he has a lot and he's top five in a lot of categories. I totally get it. But look, as far as I'm concerned, a running back's number one job is to have yards on the ground, rushing. He's had 1,000-yard season. Now, he had one season where he was really close. His second year in the league, he got 997 yards. So that's almost 1,000 yards. So if you want to just split hairs, let's just say, okay, fine. He's had 2,000-yard seasons, and he's going into his fifth year. You know what I mean? Like, are you serious? That's the guy that should be holding out for $13 million when you're about to make $6 million. And it's funny, I know Josh Jacobs has not even carried the rock one time in the NFL that for anything that mattered. All he did was rookie minicamp, OTAs, and mandatory minicamp. I get that. But everybody was tough on his helmet about not getting his contract signed and were really upset about that. And some people were talking trash on social media to him, which whatever, it is what it is, it's social media. But I'm just saying, like, $13 million, you're about to hold out and say you're not going to go to training camp, trade me or pay me? Like, you're giving those kind of demands to a team that's probably going to be pretty good. I mean, think about it, man. Melvin Gordon and the Chargers probably have an opportunity to be really good, but they got to have all their pieces. They always find a way to, as I say, charger it up, right? Well, this seems like this is going to be another case. But I bring it up because it could be good for the Raiders, because it's just a piece that could be missing from the Raiders when they play the Chargers. If he's not there, if he ends up getting traded, if it was me, I look at Melvin Gordon, I look at his numbers, and honestly, I'm looking to move him. I'm looking to move him. Now, I've heard reports, and I've reached out to Eric Williams, who covers the Chargers for ESPN.com, and I haven't heard back from him, but I have heard that they're looking to, you know, they're looking to extend him. They are looking to, you know, get him that contract deal. They have a couple weeks to get it done before the training camp opens up, but I don't know, man. I mean, you could correct me if I'm wrong, 707-654-4693, or you could tweet at me, at your boy Q254, and get it to me instantly. I just don't know if I'm the Chargers, if I would even, you know, try to bow down to that kind of pressure. Like, are you kidding me? Like, you haven't done anything that great. You know, I think Ezekiel Elliott is 1,000 times better than Melvin Gordon. I mean, if I had to pick one of those two, I'm definitely picking him. I know Todd Gurley's been banged up with the knee injury, but Todd Gurley's a much better back, in my opinion. I mean, again, that's just my opinion. Saquon Barkley, obviously, he's going to be one of the best backs in the league. I mean, that's a no-brainer. I mean, there's guys in the league that are really stinking good, and I don't think that Melvin Gordon is just that great. I mean, I really, really don't. He's just starting to even catch the ball in the backfield at a consistent rate. So I could be wrong. If you think I'm wrong, that's fine. I have no problem with that. Let me know, and let me know why you think I'm wrong. 707-654-4693. But either way, you know, it could be a good opportunity for the Raiders if he's not there, because if you look at the depth chart behind him, it's not that great. I mean, it really, really isn't. Again, I'm not impressed by him, but I know that he does do a lot for the offense. I still think the Chargers go as Phillip Rivers goes. That's just me. I heard people saying that the Chargers go as Melvin Gordon goes. I don't believe that, but again, that's just me. So definitely would love to hear from you, but I just want to put that out there and let you know that that is something that's circulating right now. He says he will not go to camp. He's going to hold out, and if you don't want to pay him, then go ahead and trade him. And it's funny. I don't understand why the Chargers didn't go out there and make a move for Jordan Howard. Again, I'm not trying to encourage them to get better, or I'm not trying to, you know, make moves for them. You know, I'm not rooting for them or anything, but I would thought if they thought that this kind of situation was going to come up on them, they might have wanted to make a move for Jordan Howard when he was available, but now he's not available because he's a member of the Philadelphia Eagles. But that's very interesting as far as I'm concerned. Melvin Gordon talking about he will not go to training camp without a new deal. I don't think he's a $13 million a year running back, but hey, you know, it is what it is. I'm not mad at him if he gets the money. I just don't think he's worth it. So we'll see what the Chargers do. I feel like this is kind of unexpected. Hopefully my man Eric Williams gets back to me at some point and lets me know his thoughts on it. He's probably on vacation like everybody else is. But either way, when he hits me back and when we kind of get some clarity on this, I'll definitely speak on it on the podcast, because obviously it affects the Raiders in a way that they play the Chargers twice a year. So that's what I wanted to talk about. That was the news and notes. I wanted to give you that in segment number one. Coming up in segment number two, More Than Rookies, episode number one. It comes from Raiders.com. Really good stuff. I encourage you to go to the website and watch the video, because the video is really good. But I have the audio. I'm going to break it down a little bit. And I'm going to talk about that in segment number two. That's coming up next right here on the Locked On Raiders podcast.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast on this Friday, July the 12th, 2019. Getting ready to get into the weekend. Your boy Q here. I told you that I was going to talk about the More Than Rookies episode number one from Raiders.com. I really encourage you to go check it out. The video really stinking good, but I kind of broke it down so you can hear the audio and just kind of, like I said, get a good effect of it. But after that, you go to Raiders.com. Definitely go to Raiders.com. Check out the video to get the full effect. It's really, really cool. Like, the first minute and 20 seconds has Cleveland Farrell. He's really leading things off. He's probably talking the most. But Jonathan Abram is in there as well. And tight end Foster Moreau. They're leading it off for like the first minute and 20 seconds. And then that's when it really gets good. After the first minute, 20 seconds, that's when Ronald Ali, he's a defensive lineman out of Last Chance U. He wasn't drafted. He actually was signed after the Raiders held a camp one weekend. And he was able to earn himself a contract similar to what Jalen Richard did a few years back, and Reggie McKenzie signed him, and he's been with the Raiders ever since. Ronald Ali, he's a guy that he really just kind of excites me, and it's crazy because, you know, the Raiders are going to be on Hard Knocks. That's something that I wasn't looking forward to, but now I'm looking forward to it. Watching these little mini episodes, it's almost like a teaser for Hard Knocks. So this More Than Rookies episode number one almost kind of gets you want to get warmed up for the Hard Knocks show. And, you know, there's always that question, like, who's going to be the one that people are rooting for? Who's going to be the star of the show? And everyone talks about Antonio Brown, Richie Incognito, John Gruden, Mike Mayock, all the personalities on the team. We totally get that, right? We as the fan base totally get that. But I'll tell you right now, after hearing this, there's a good shot that Ronald Ali will be that guy. So the first minute, 20 seconds, like I said, is Cleve Farrell, Jonathan Abram, Foster Moreau, and then all of a sudden, it's Ronald Ali. And you can hear him, and he's talking about he's lucky to be there. He talked about how he grew up really rough. He was a bad kid. He didn't have an opportunity to be a kid, so now he's being a kid. I mean, it's a good little stretch. It's almost like a four-minute stretch that he's just talking. They go out to Google out in Silicon Valley out there in Cali, and they do a little trip with all the rookies. And so he's just talking, having a good time. There's a bowling event where he's kind of showing out and dancing and being goofy. But he seems like a really, really cool dude. And all of a sudden, after watching that, that is a guy that during Hard Knocks, I'll be keeping my eye on. He's a guy that I'm definitely going to be rooting for to make the roster, just because, you know, you get those. And maybe I'm getting soft in my older age. I mean, I'm 42 years old. Maybe I'm getting soft. But he's just one of those dudes that you just kind of look at and you see him and you're like, man, I hope that dude does well. You know what I mean? He's just one of those guys that you can't help but to pull for. So I think that he's going to become a favorite of Raider Nation. Now, I don't know if he's going to make the squad. He's got a long way to go. Undrafted free agent. So he's got to do extra work just to make the squad. But I believe by the end of Hard Knocks, by the end of training camp, by the end of preseason, every Raider fan is going to be rooting for Ronald Ali, and I guarantee I will be one of them. Then, to end off the little clip that you're about to hear, you'll hear fullback Alec Ingold, and I like what he really said, and it's the only reason I left it on here, is I like what he said at the very end of the clip, and it's really, really important, and I'll tell you why after you hear it. But here it goes right here, More Than Rookies, episode number one, courtesy of Raiders.com.
I ain't gonna lie to you. I'm not the biggest fan of media day, but putting on that jersey for like the first time and just seeing myself in the mirror with it, I was like, this looked pretty good. Like this really looked like what I pictured in my mind, you know what I mean? So it was really, really special because I just know the lineage of people that have worn that jersey.
It was crazy. Putting on that uniform for the first time, it was so cool. It's such a valued and historic program. The history of this franchise is matched by close to none.
Silver and black. Black is my favorite color. Like, I always have on black, as you can see. And if you go back and you just look at the history of the silver and black, you know, from John Madden, all of those great guys who came before me, Charles Woodson, Rod Woodson, it was just so many great players.
And you tell them one thing, just win, baby.
They have some of the founding fathers of football. You take Al Davis. I mean, you got guys like Howie Long or Willie Brown. You know, there's just so many great players that have come through here, and so many great, not just NFL players, but front office people and coaches too. So I feel like this is a staple or like a cornerstone as far as just the makeup of our league. And I was so blessed just to have the opportunity to play for this organization. So it really couldn't be any more of a dream just to be here for sure.
It's changed tremendously, really. Like from college to this, it's like it can get hectic if you let it, you know, like it can get hectic if you let it. You just got to handle it all right. So it's kind of been pretty cool for me, though. You know, I'm even blessed to be here.
Too high, come back. You hit him up in the face. Stay low. This is what you gotta. If you're short, that's your greatest asset. Because now you want them to come play in your wheelhouse, right? There you go.
Practice has been a learning experience. You know, like coming from a small school and those other guys who've been, you know, been big D1 schools, and you know, you got Cleveland who went to Clemson. You got Max went to Eastern Michigan, you know, Quinn with the Prairie View. You know, it's different views of football at each level. And I'm just trying to grasp the gist of everything and take off running with it. I was a bad kid. It was a very interesting childhood for me. Like, I had to grow up fast. So I really never got to be the kid that I wanted to be. So that's probably why I'm a kid now.
Hey, watch this.
I'm always with energy, like a smile, you know, making sure everybody else is smiling. Like, cause you never know what people are going through. And you know, I be the person sometimes, but I always try to find myself getting better by making other people happy. So that's why I always walk around with a smile, you know, just trying to make other people laugh and giggle and enjoy themselves, you know. It's just me.
Coming out here to Google, man, seeing the stuff.
We exploring, and we need you to follow us because we don't know what's going on.
For those of us that have seen the movie, The Internship, this is kind of the opening scene where they're all sitting down.
I never knew Google had that much going on. Like, I never knew Google was so versatile like that. You know, I never knew that was into YouTube. I never knew none of that stuff. So just finding out that was pretty cool.
I'm enjoying myself. I'm seeing different stuff, learning different stuff. It's just wonderful.
We be thinking about football, you know, so it's just like to have fun and enjoy time, and it's just, it be good. So I say it be, I ain't try to say it be, but you know, that's definitely bad. So, but yeah, it's nice. I like having those trips, you know.
This my think a lot hat, you know what I'm saying? See, when I want to feel like I got a great idea, I just, hello. Bing.
It's been a little bit hectic, but you know, it's just a transition. Everything is just new. It's a whole new situation, whole new playbook, whole new teammates, everything.
One, two, three.
But you know, it's just a transition. Not in college anymore. A lot of stuff I got to do on my own. So just trying to learn how to really, you know, just be self-sufficient.
In college, it's football and school. So you're a student, really understanding there's a time to, you know, be with your brothers, and then there's a time to be a professional. That's kind of the difference. Trying to learn as much as you can from the older guys and just really understanding what you have to do to kind of grow up as fast as possible is really what the big thing has been.
Keep your mind on the prize. Don't forget why we're out here. Every drill we do, you got me?
Gotcha.
Let's go. Win on three. One, two, three.
Win.
As a child growing up, you know, you have these dreams. You have dreams. You have things that you want to accomplish.
See it. Let them see it.
And you have people who are going to tell you you're not going to do it.
Hey, straight to them.
And it's not as much proving those people wrong as it is proving the people who backed you up from day one right.
So that was it right there. You heard some good stuff right there from Clete Ferrell. You heard Jonathan Abram. They were kind of talking about the history of the Raiders and some of the great players that came before them and kind of knowing the history. Something we've been talking about on this show about the Raider mystique, and they're being familiarized with it. John Gruden and company are making sure that they're familiarized with it like that. Ronald Ali, again, just listening to him, I don't know but how you can't root for him. Just listening to him, I don't know how you can't root for him. If you cannot root for that dude, then something's wrong with you. Simple as that, because that dude sounds like, at least, a really, really cool dude. He's got a great attitude. If you want to see the video just to kind of see what he looks like and just the whole way he's acting is great, go to Raiders.com and check out the video. It's really, really cool. But then I also had that what fullback Alec Ingold said at the end, and he was talking about it's not really about proving, you know, people wrong, but it's proving the people that always backed you right. And it's funny, man, I like that. And it really resonated in my head when he said that, because, you know, we spend so much time as a society, as people, we spend so much time trying to prove everybody wrong, trying to prove the doubters wrong, the haters wrong, prove this person wrong, prove this person wrong. I'll show you. You said I won't mount to nothing. I'll show you. You know what I mean? And look, I'm guilty of it too, but we spend so much time trying to prove people wrong. It's about time. And I love that he said that, and that's why it really resonated with me. Sometimes we need to prove the people that back us that they're right. Prove the people that have always said, no, you're going to make it. Son, you're going to make it. You know, I think about Mama Q all the time. She always, anytime I'm down, I promise you, if I can give you my cell phone and let you just go through it and our conversations that we have, anytime that I'm down, anytime I'm frustrated, anytime something's going on, she'll say, don't worry, you're going to make it. Your time is coming. Don't worry. Just keep on going. Just keep on going. She's always the one that says, yes, it's going to happen. Yes, it's going to happen. Instead of the ones that say, oh, you ain't never going to make it. You ain't never going to make it. Oh, this is a pipe dream. Oh, you're trying to live the dream and it's not going to work. No, instead of trying to prove that cat wrong, I need to try to prove Mama Q right. Or not even prove, or not try to, because she already believes in me. All I got to do is continue to do what I do. So that from Alec Ingold, the fullback, undrafted guy, That kind of resonated with me right there, and I thought that was important for us to keep on the podcast just so everyone could hear that, because that can help anyone in their every single day walk of life. Sometimes, instead of trying to prove the other dude wrong, you need to prove the ones that got your back, you need to prove them right. Your calls coming up, segment number 3, 707-654-4693. This is the Locked On Raiders podcast.
You are Locked On Raiders. Your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Final segment of the day. It's segment number 3 of today's Locked On Raiders podcast on this Friday, July the 12th, 707-654-4693. That is the number to call. That's the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. And right now we're going to hear from you. So again, 707-654-4693. Put that phone number in your phone. Lock it in. And lock it on, because that's what we're going to do. Let's start things off with Tatiana. She's calling to let us know how she became a Raiders fan and also represent for the ladies. And, yeah, she's a new booty as far as the caller goes. Here she is, Tatiana.
Hey, Q and Raider Nation. This is Tatiana, or you can call me Tati, whatever's easier. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I just wanted to call in because I know someone was asking, like, where the ladies at, and hi. I just kind of wanted to represent the ladies and the younger generation. I'm only 25 as well. So for me, I just want to give a little insight on how I became a Raider fan. My dad, he was a hardcore LA Raider fan. And it's funny, he switched once they went back to Oakland because he's an LA fan. But something in me just stuck, and I've been a Raider fan ever since I can remember growing up. So for me, it's Raiders all the time, and it's pretty cool. I've got my family to love it more and more. I got our Christmas card to be at 1 year. That was our Raider gear, and ironically, they were all my jerseys. So I have a Rice jersey from my dad since he didn't want the Raiders anymore. I was like, sure, why not? And oddly enough, you know, growing up, there wasn't a lot of consistent players. And I had a friend who said, I can hook you up with the Raider jersey. Let me know who you want. And I couldn't think of anyone that I wanted, but I wanted someone that the Raiders could depend on and someone that was reliable. And the only person that I could think of at the time was Janikowski. And I know it's not common, and people are like, why him? And I give that answer because, you know, his career with the Raiders is dependable. I looked forward to those really long kicks and cheering him on, you know, when that wasn't popular back then. So just want to say, hey, I'm going to the last Raider home game. So I can't wait to meet you guys. It'll be my first time tailgating. And I hope you guys can all show me the ropes.
Very nice story right there. She got her fandom from her pop. She started with it and then stuck with him when he wasn't rocking with him. And then she rocks a Janikowski jersey. And I ain't gonna lie, man, that was, honestly, that was dope, wasn't it? Having a guy like that where you knew if the Raiders crossed the 50-yard line, there was a good opportunity that somebody was going to trot out Janikowski to kick a long field goal. And, hey, you're not guaranteeing that he's going to make it, but you know he had the opportunity. You knew that there was a chance he could go from 60 yards deep, right? You knew that you were always in Janikowski range as soon as the team crossed the 50-yard line. That was always something cool, man. That was something to get excited about. Most teams don't get excited about their kicker because, well, he has a leg like that. But man, rooting for Janikowski was always fun. He was, and plus he was a Raider, wasn't he? He was always a character, a typical Raider. It just seemed like he fit with the Raiders and no other team. Even when he went in Seattle last year, just didn't seem right. Him being a Raider was through and through. Always loved some sea bass, so definitely understand that. And yeah, thank you for rocking with us. Definitely appreciate that. Next call comes from John, aka Peg Leg Raider, calling back to talk about the mystique of the Raiders. Really breaks it down in this call. Here he is, John, aka Peg Leg Raider.
Yo, Q, this is John, aka Peg Leg Raider, calling back. Called in. One, thanks for airing my comments. Didn't expect those to get aired that quick. And I'm a DMU, so you understand, Peg Leg Raider. I think you'll like it. But number two, I'm calling back so soon really just to talk about Raiders mystique. So I've been listening to all the calls, and I agree with everything as far as, you know, the Raider, we've always played the villain role. The NFL's always kind of gotten it out for us. We always kind of had that underdog role. We never feel like we get the respect we deserve. And also that the color black, the silver and black that Al Davis chose is the embodiment of who we are to the core. But the one thing I think is missing from the conversation is what I think makes the Raider Nation accessible to everyone and why you can find Raiders fans across the country who either are dislocated Californians like myself or people who have no connection to the state, no connection to the Bay, but just find themselves really connected to the team. And that's how Al Davis always was not afraid to take a chance on a player. Looking at just our current roster with AB, with Vontaze, with Richie, who we all have questions about, but hey, they have a skill set, and if they can play, if they can produce, we don't care really about your history. If you messed up at another team, we're going to give you a chance to come to Oakland, make things right. Hopefully they continue that in Vegas. But also the way Al went out of his way to, he didn't care if you went to a small school, an HBCU. He was hiring people of color before it was a thing. If you had a skill set, if you had something to prove, if you had that Raider mentality, if you could just win and be committed to excellence, there was a place for you in the Raiders. And I think that's where that once a Raider, always a Raider comes from. And I think a lot of people around the country who have come out of second chances and things can identify with that. So I'd like to add that to the Raiders mystique conversation. That's all I got. Check your DMs because as soon as I get home, I'm going to send you a couple so you get that Peg Leg Raider. But awesome show as always. Keep up the good work. One love to the Raiders. Peg Leg Raider out.
Great call, my man. I love how you really broke that down, what the mystique was of the Raiders, and hopefully that's what the mystique will get back to being. And then he said to check my DMs, and he sent me a message about himself being Peg Leg Raider, and I mean, that's a real deal. That's not something that he just, you know, came up with some cute idea or cute name for himself. That is actually his name, and it's his name for a reason. And he said, Q, as you can see, and there's pictures of some prosthetics. He said, Q, as you can see, Peg Leg Raider is real. It's a result of one bad day in Iraq after almost 10 years of service. Don't feel bad for me. I'm still above ground when many didn't make it. Also, it doesn't slow me down. I can do everything I want to. I even climb Mount Kilimanjaro with Chris Long and his Water Boys organization. That's awesome. Rocking the Raider leg the whole way. Love the podcast, brother. Holler at your boy next time you're in San Antonio. First round is on me. That is awesome. That is awesome. So Peg Leg Raider, that's a real deal. Kind of like a Raider Blind Rage in the 209. I mean, hey, man, we take all fans from every walk of life, blind, peg legged. Doesn't matter what your color, doesn't matter what your race, doesn't matter if you're a man, a female, it does not matter. You are a member of Raider Nation. Love that, love that, love that. Thank you, brother, for that call, and thank you for that message as well. Sean in Salt Lake City, he's up next. He's calling because of Vader Raider's story about wearing Raiders clothes and getting in trouble, and it sparked him some memories. Here he is, Sean in Salt Lake City.
What's up, Q's at Raider Nation? It's Sean from Salt Lake City. I'm just calling because Vader Raider's little story about him in school wearing all the Raider gear and getting told he was in a gang and all that stuff just kind of sparked like just memories when I was younger. I had the same issue. Being out here in Salt Lake, I mean, there's not really, you can't really call it a gang thing at all to begin with. It's kind of a soft state. But all the time just growing up, I always had my Raider stuff on, and every time something bad would happen at school, it's instantly, I was one of the first people who got called down to the principal's office. And I mean, like, I wouldn't say like I was a perfect kid, but I wasn't a bad kid by any means. Like, I got good grades and stuff, did what I was supposed to. Little League football, I was always known as the punk kid, just because, I don't know why, and I think it's probably just because I was just known as the Raiders fan. And I know all of us kind of have that story, and it was cool to hear Vader Raider say it and just spark all those different memories and just the pride that I have of being a Raider fan. I think, like, that kind of background and kind of being blamed for dumb things kind of brings us together. I mean, I'm an electrician, and I work out at the Salt Lake Airport moving a big old remodel on it. And every time I see a Raiders fan, man, it's like, you have to stop and say hi. You have to stop and show what Raider gear you have on for the day. I think it's just kind of what brings us together. It's just that old mystique that we wanted, that we crave, and hopefully, and I believe it is coming back, but hopefully quicker than we want, it'll come back. Either way, man, let's just keep it up, man. Get ready for the season. Go Raiders.
Great call. Great memories right there, Sean. Definitely appreciate that. And up next, Chase Raider calling out of Oklahoma, calling in to speak on the mystique of the Raiders, plus hitting you with that Facebook page he created one more time. Here he is, Chase Raider in Oklahoma.
What is up, Raider Nation? Q, my man. Wanted to call in. This is Chase out in Chase Raider out in Oklahoma. I wanted to give a shout-out real quick to Chris, man, in Oklahoma City. He mentioned going to that Houston game, man, and that's exactly why I started that group on Facebook, bro. Come find us. It's Locked On Raider Nation, man, and kind of tie that into the mystique thing, man. I think part of the mystique is also, obviously, it's the black hole, man. The Raider Nation is the fans. So, you know, me being a fan, always being an away team fan, never a home game fan, I've become an expert at the home, the fandom, man. I'm telling you, I use their own tactics against them. It pisses them off. I am an expert road fan, and I can't wait to share that love with you guys. But y'all, go and hit us up on that Facebook page so we can all get together every game this year. We can coordinate. We can make sure we're hitting them with the best chance, and we're killing them from the stands, and we're killing them on the field, y'all. Come on, let's make it happen. Chase Raider out in Oklahoma. Holler at me, Chris. On Facebook, man, we'll get together. I'll be in Oklahoma City this weekend, man. Holler.
Thank you for that call, my man. Anyone who's looking out, trying to find that Facebook page again, Locked On Raider Nation. Again, Locked On Raider Nation. I just became a member of it the other day. I told you I don't really do Facebook, but hey, you know, if it has to do with the Raiders, I'll be a part of it. So I'm definitely a part of that. Thank you for creating that thing for all Raider Nation to enjoy. Next call comes from my man Raider Ben in the 209, calling in to talk about the Raider mystique and how that made him become a diehard Raiders fan. Here's Raider Ben in the 209.
What's up, Q, man? It's your boy Raider Ben from the 209, man. Great podcast today, man. I just got done listening to it. I just wanted to come on and talk a little bit about that mystique. This mystique kind of goes hand in hand in the reason why I became a fan of the Oakland Raiders. That mystique, that bad boy attitude, you know, that punch you in your mouth, we're not afraid of you. we're going to take what we want, not what you give, type mentality, man, is one of the main reasons why I became the Raider fan that I am today. Another reason why I became a Raider fan, man, was I was a big fan, man, when I was a kid of the Chucky series. The whole Chucky, Bride of Chucky, Seed of Chucky, all that stuff, man, I love that stuff. And the first time I seen a Raider game, man, I seen all those Chucky dolls in the stands, bro, like, I just fell in love with that, dude. I mean, that was, that mystique, man, you know, that bad boy. And it's crazy because Most Nut Unknown was talking about, like, that Raiders mystique. I feel like the Raiders haven't had that mystique since John Gruden was here the last time. I don't know if you feel the same about that. But I feel like after Rich Gannon got hurt, the following year after we lost the Super Bowl, I believe the play, he was scrambling and he went helmet to helmet with Derrick Brooks, and he broke his collarbone. I'll never forget that day. It's crazy because on that day I kind of realized what the Raiders were going to do. Like, we started to fall off from there. But no, man, that mystique is gone, man. That bad boy mystique. Hopefully John Gruden can bring it back, but I feel like that mystique is gone. One of my favorite things I ever seen growing up about that Raiders mystique, and I'll never forget it, is when the Raiders played the Pittsburgh Steelers, man, and Richard Seymour punched Ben Roethlisberger in the face, dude. It was lovely. It was awesome. And, yeah, man, that's how one of the main reasons why I became a Raider fan, man. That's how I feel about the mystique of the Raiders, man. It's just not there anymore. We're kind of a joke, unfortunately, man, like a lot of these NFL franchises and the media. They think we're jokes. They take us as a joke, but it's okay, man. I love that underdog mentality. Another reason why I'm a Raider fan, count us out, because when you count us out is when we're going to punch you in your mouth. Go Raiders, man. I'm out.
Good stuff, my man. Definitely appreciate that. Next call comes from my dude, Raider Tone in the 661. It's been a minute, but he's calling in to check in and talk about the videos floating around about AB or involving Antonio Brown, Trayvon Mullen, and even more. All them working out, doing all their thing. Here he is, Raider Tone in the 661.
Hey, what's up, Q, man? It's Raider Tone in the 661. And I'm just calling in, man. Just to bless the podcast, man. And glad this year thing's still going on. Glad that you're doing well, getting all the praises and all the hype you deserve. Hell yeah, we got a few new nicknames, man. Q Pop, I'm just calling, man, to give a few hot takes and I don't know, just to see what you think about all these new videos circling around about Mullen and Antonio Brown out there getting that work in. And even it says a lot about the DB, the young DB work that they're even going out there, even getting on the social media platform to even challenge, you know, Antonio Brown or to get out there and work with him, man. And from what we've seen all this offseason, man, Antonio Brown got a crazy workout, man. And I'd be scared to go work out with that dude, man. It seemed like that's all he do is work out. And, you know, it's some videos now on Mullen, Instagram where he's working out on his own, you know, working on a lot of press, and that's what he's known for. And then in videos, what I noticed that I ain't really noticed before, man, he really long, man, for a corner, man, is in different directions. He putting his hands on the guy he's working out with from the press position. It just looked like, man, the man got unique form. You know, and I don't know if it's just because we ain't getting much football activity that this small clips of work ethic just got me hyped up, man. But, man, this dude Mullen, it don't look like he coming in for no roster spot, man. It look like he working to take somebody's job, man. I think Joe Worley better watch out, man. You know, this dude putting work in. He won't wear the nation to know. I'm here to put this work in. All right, Q.
I'll tell you what, man, I have not been more impressed with any kind of player that the Raiders have ever picked up as I have been with Antonio Brown. I mean, all you see is him working out, going through drills. It doesn't matter where he's at. He could be in Maui. He could be in Paris. He could be in Oakland. It doesn't matter. Vacation, it does not matter. It's work, 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 work. You see him using videos with goggles and glasses that impair his vision. You see him catching tennis balls while he's jumping on some kind of exercise ball. I mean, you see him doing everything he can to the the greatest extent of like difficulty and getting it done at a high level. I mean, he's got kids, or not kids, but he's got high schoolers hanging on his arms while he's catching one arm passes off the jugs machine. I mean, he's doing the most. And you know, we've had someone that called in and said that people that want to be good will go out there and they'll practice. There's guys that want to just be good enough, and they'll go out and practice a little bit harder. Then there's ones that want to be great, and the way that they go out and work and the way that they have their work ethic is almost insane. Something that just makes you think, like, are you kidding me? Do you ever rest? Do you ever do this? Do you ever do, you know what I mean? Like, just makes you question them, like, are you real? Are you a human? You know, and that's what Antonio Brown does, and that's what Jerry Rice did. His work ethic was so sick, it made everyone around him question him. But look, he's the GOAT. He's the greatest wide receiver of all time, and that's what Antonio Brown wants. He wants to be the GOAT. And if he's not the GOAT, but he works like he is right now, and he has the work ethic that he does, if he falls a little bit short, guess what, Raider Nation? It's going to be still really stinking good. He's a Hall of Famer right now. Everything he's adding on to it is just, all it is gravy. I mean, as simple as that. It's just gravy. He's already a Hall of Famer. He doesn't care about that. He's not satisfied with that. He's not settling with that. He wants to be the best that ever did it. And that's going to be really, really good. That's great for the Raiders. That's great for the Raiders' offense. That's great for the Raiders' defense. That's great for the morale of the team. That's going to make everybody work that much harder. I'm very excited about that. Thank you so much for bringing that up, Raider Tone. Now, James in KC, he's up next calling in to follow up about my Fox 44 channel, how it's currently blacked out. And I asked him about, because he works for DirecTV, I asked him about what's going to happen during the regular football season. Does that mean the Cowboy games are going to be blocked out? Not that, you know, I have to make sure I watch Cowboy games, but at the same time, working at ESPN Central Texas, I kind of do have to make sure I watch Cowboy games so I know what to talk about on the radio. But anyway, here's James in KC. Just give me a follow up.
Hey, Q, this is James and KC calling back in to answer your question about the Sunday NFL tickets, local TV. If on the late Sunday NFL ticket works is if it is aired in your local market, they block the game out in local markets on the Sunday NFL ticket. So, yeah, in your area, if they don't get this resolved by football season, the home games or all Cowboy games, because they'll all be aired in the local market, a home or away, would in fact be blocked out on Sunday NFL ticket, and there would be nothing on local TV if it airs on one of the Nexstar channels. Sorry for the bad news. Hopefully they do get this resolved. I saw something this morning where AT&T and DirecTV is calling out Nexstar and trying to get them to resolve it before the negotiations are taken care of, but who knows. So I'll touch bases with you guys later. Keep up the good fight, Raider Nation. Love you, brother Henry in Modesto. Talk to you later. Peace out.
Thank you so much for that, my man. Well, hopefully they get that problem resolved, because it's just not cool having channels blocked out anyway. I'm glad, though, that you did the other day call and kind of set me straight on what was going on, what the issue was. Now at least I can see clearly. But, man, I missed the All-Star game the other night. Pretty angry about that. Didn't get to see that because, well, it was blacked out locally. So thank you very much. DJ from the 909 calling in to talk about the Josh Jacobs situation and expressing his feelings on folks that were going in on him on Twitter or social media. Then he talks about one of his coworkers. Here he is, DJ from the 909.
What up, Q? What up, Raider Nation? It's DJ calling from the 909. Haven't called for a minute. I noticed that we're on a little time restriction as far as the calls go, so I'm going to make it real short. I'm going to address Josh Jacobs' contract situation. I'm glad he finally got signed, I want to make a note to Raider Nation. I don't understand why you guys are coming after Josh Jacobs like he is the bad guy on Twitter. Like, he did absolutely no harm. And if you were in his shoes, you would want to get the maximum amount of money that you can, too. Because at the end of the day, the NFL is still business. And if he gets injured, that's it. He ain't going to get paid no more. He tears the ACL, or not even ACL, but if he has, like, a career-ending injury, that's it. They're not going to give him no other money. So he got to get what he can. So I don't blame him. So all you Raider fans, or so-called Raider fans that are going after Josh Jacobs, like, if he's the bad guy, get out of here with that. We don't need that right now. Pretty much that's it. Just wanted to touch upon that. Oh, one last thing. I got a coworker that I work with, and I guess this is just a Raider mystique that runs around. I don't know. I got about two or three of them. I don't talk. I just sit there. I'm just quiet, you know. Don't say nothing. And he sees me come in every day with my Raider coffee mug. And he's like, oh, you a Raider fan? Yeah, what's the problem? He's like, man, y'all suck. For what? Like, I ain't even talking smack. And it's always like that. And then I got my other guy that works next to me. He's a Packer fan, right? And he's like, man, you guys are not even going to be good. AB's only going to have about, like, 700 yards receiving, 600. And I'm looking at him crazy. I'm like, all right, keep that same energy when the season rolls around. I was like, all of a sudden, you know, AB's going to drop off from being a 1,200-yard receiving yard receiver, and all of a sudden he going to go down to 600. I was like, yeah, keep that same energy. And the other one's a Cowboys fan, and I don't want to get started with that. But – all right, Raider Nation, try to keep it short. All right, Q, y'all have a good one.
Hey, man, let them cats talk that talk. Let them talk all that noise right now. In July, it is all good. Hey, let the play happen on the field. Antonio Brown, Derek Carr, Josh Jacobs. Hopefully, the defense doing the talking. I mean, let all that do the talking, man. Let them go ahead and get their jabs in right now. You talking about one of your coworkers is a Packers fan. Hell, they better hope that everything goes right in Green Bay. You got a brand new head coach up there with Aaron Rodgers, and he talking about he don't want them to audible at the line of scrimmage. That's going to be something. So that's going to be interesting right now. And look, we'll hear more about the Green Bay Packers next week. I will talk to Rob Demoski from ESPN.com, doing a little behind-the-scenes pre-training camp interview with him just to finish off the NFC North. But, yeah, we'll be talking Green Bay next week. I'll get that. That'll be towards the end of the week. So, yeah, that's pretty funny. Don't worry about it, DJ. Let him go ahead and talk all that talk. You know how we as Raider fans, we got to hold it down anyway. It is all good. That's part of our mystique, right? That's right. Now, the final call I had, I actually can't play it. It was Raider Russell from Tampa Bay. He was a new booty caller, and he had a really good call, but it was on speakerphone. It didn't come through as clear as I'd like. So, Raider Russell from Tampa Bay, if you don't mind, please call back sometime over the weekend, but don't use speakerphone so it can be clear and so it crystal clear and everybody can hear it. Because I was able to hear it, but I really had to strain myself, and I could just picture someone right now. What I do when I think about this situation, I think of Mama Q and think, would she strain to hear this call and kind of have that look on her face like, I can't really hear this. And I know you can't picture what she would look like, but I could picture it in my head what she would look like if she couldn't really hear something very well. And that's kind of what I thought she would do if she heard this call. So that's why I'm not going to play it. But if you can, it was a really good call. Please call back, and I'll definitely get it on because I want it to be heard. So thank you very much. That's going to be the final little little nugget for the show. Oh, wait, before I do that, Eric Williams hit me back. Remember I told you at the beginning of the show that I texted him and I hadn't heard back from him? He said, I don't think that they move him, talking about Melvin Gordon here. And he says, depends on how many years they are asking for in guaranteed money. I could see $24 million over 2 years. Don't think that they'd go any higher than that. So, when you're thinking about Melvin Gordon, he doesn't think that the Chargers will move him, but don't think that they'll give him any more than 2 years, $24 million. And look, he wants $13 million a year, so basically it's giving you the money or giving him the money that he wants per year, just not giving him a long-term contract. And I think that would be fair because, like I said in segment number one, I don't think he's worth a long-term deal with $49, $50 million guaranteed. I just don't think he's that dude. I don't think he's earned that. But again, according to Eric Williams, who covers the Chargers for ESPN.com, he said, I don't think they move him. Depends on how many years they're asking for in guaranteed money. I can see $24 million over 2 years. Don't think they'd go any higher than that. So thank you, Eric, for that. That was really, really great. He's a good dude. And Eric, at Eric_D_Williams on Twitter. Again, he covers the Chargers for ESPN.com. He's been on the podcast before. So enjoy your weekend, Raider Nation. Do what you do. Oh, I got to tell you what I'm doing over the weekend. I forgot about that. I'm going up to Dallas, the Arlington area, for the Big 12 Media Days. It's basically like the kickoff of college football season. That lets you know college football is right around the corner. We do it each and every year on ESPN Central Texas. So Monday and Tuesday, I will be doing my shows from a hotel room. So the audio will be a little bit different. I'll be using my phone, but still, it's going to be out there. And if for some reason, there's not an episode up on Monday or Tuesday, one of those days, that just means that something happened. Something happened and I just ran out of time, or something got too hectic and I wasn't able to knock it out like I'd want to. So that's the only thing. So just letting you know, I will not be at the home studios. I'll be away, and I'll be in Arlington. And then on Tuesday, the 16th, when I'm done with Big 12 Media Days, my show's over at 3 p.m. Central Time. I'm actually picking up Little Q from the Dallas airport at about 5 something, so the timing should be perfect. So Little Q will be here right after that, and then on the 29th of July, I'll be on vacation, but I'll still get these podcasts done. But I'll be on vacation spending some time with Little Q. But anyway, that's another conversation for another day. Just kind of want to let you know what's going on. So enjoy your weekend. Hopefully you enjoyed the podcast, and we'll talk again on Monday. Until then, Raider Nation, as always, just win, baby.